The podcast you are about to listen to contains at least one of the following: strong language, disturbing topics, abusive opinions, generally things that aren't appropriate for little kids or overly sensitive people. So if any of that stuff's going to get your nose out of joint, this is your chance to turn it off. Welcome to I Had to Say It, the podcast where I talk about things that I feel need talking about, and sometimes they're not getting the attention they deserve. And your feelings, they're not under consideration. All right, so just to dive right into it, the big, obvious, glaring elephant in the room kind of situation. The Supreme Court has started handing out rulings. They struck down a New York City gun policy, declaring it to be unconstitutional, which I believe they were right in, because basically all it did was that New York had what they call a may issue policy when it comes to carry permits, and they more or less said, no, you have to have a shall issue policy. Now, for the people that don't understand that, may issue means at the discretion of the state, they can decide to authorize you to carry a firearm to defend yourself. Now, with the may issue policy, the problem is you have to prove to their satisfaction that you need to carry a firearm to protect yourself. Now, women who were filing protection orders against their stalkers were being denied permits to carry, and there was a woman who actually had applied for a permit to carry, was killed by the man she had a protection order against because she had no way to defend herself because her permit, her carry permit was denied. Now, shall issue, what the Supreme Court said New York had to switch to, it's really, realistically, that's the long and the short of the change they made. That is what they did. Changed it from may issue to shall issue. Shall issue changes one significant item. It says, unless the state can prove a valid reason for you to not be allowed to carry a firearm, they have to issue the permit. If you pass the background checks and say, it's my right as an American citizen, I don't have a criminal history, I have taken the test and taken the course, and I know how to carry safely, they have to issue the permit. That is literally the change that was made. As soon as that happened, basically everybody with any kind of liberal leanings came out saying, oh my God, the Supreme Court is overruling a state's rights and violating this and that, and, you know, basically screaming about how this was going to lead to, you know, the Wild Wild West coming back and shootouts in the streets and all this other ridiculous bullshit, when realistically all they did was make it easier for people to defend themselves, which is enumerated in the Constitution under the Second Amendment. And that is what the Supreme Court is for, to decide whether or not something violates the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the amendments to the Constitution. And that's what they did. They did their job. Now, immediately after that, literally the next day, the Supreme Court issued a ruling on Roe versus Wade, and they did what the leak that came out a few weeks ago basically said they were going to do. They reversed it. They said, you know what, this is not a constitutional matter. It reverts to the states because abortion rights are not enumerated and not covered under the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or any of the amendments. And as soon as this was stated, despite the fact that everybody knew it was coming, everybody lost their shit. Now, if you really want to know where I stand on the issue, I spoke out on it at length when the leak happened. And to give you the Cliff Notes version, I don't have a problem with the fact that they decided this should not be handled on a constitutional national level, because I am all for minimizing the influence of the federal government in the people's day-to-day lives. Now, I also, am I saying I think abortion should be outlawed? No, I don't. I spoke on it at length. Go listen to the other episode if you really want to know all the details. I don't agree with banning abortions outright. I agree with something that I heard someone else say where, you know, the left kind of lost a lot of support for this, because when people were pushing Roe versus Wade initially, and a lot of young people don't remember this, and I don't want to harp on this overly long, but I do want to touch on it. Now, initially, when people were trying to get national legislation to say abortion rights should be protected, it's health related, it's a person's right, yada, yada, yada. The initial narrative was safe, sanitary, well handled and infrequent. It was kind of a point of, we're not saying this should be anytime we want at our convenience. It's done in a safe manner, medically conditioned, which is why I don't think it should be outlawed. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be medically treated, and you don't need back alley abortions and all this other shit. It needs to be treated like a medical procedure, because that's what it is. But that doesn't mean it should be, you know, you shouldn't be treating it like I get a punch card and after every 10th one is free. I mean, there are implications and side effects to getting massive amounts of abortions, including sterility and things like that. There are reasons why it shouldn't be treated so cavalierly by the way people were doing it, because that's where a lot of people lost the middle of the road support. That's where the left did basically what the left has been doing with everything. They get a little bit. They get more towards what they're asking for, and this new generation just goes off the fucking deep end with things. When I was a kid and people were fighting for, you know, rights for gay people, which now a lot of people are saying, oh, well, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to roll back, you know, gay marriage, and they're going to roll back, you know, segregation and all this other shit. And I think that's a little extreme. I really doubt they're going to start trying to, you know, bring back segregation, but who knows? And they may try and roll back gay marriage. Personally, yeah, my stance on marriage is all marriage should be none of the federal government's fucking business. Now, the protections that were put into place for things like insurance and benefits and inheritances and things like that, yeah, unfortunately, we live in a society where it's necessary. But in terms of loving who you love and who you want to be committed to for the rest of your life, the government shouldn't have any fucking say in it, gay, straight, or other. It's fucking ridiculous. But people are acting like, okay, it's this massive thing. And my biggest problem, the thing I really want to talk about, because like I said, I don't want to harp overly much on my thoughts on abortion in and of itself, but the way things have been coming back since the announcement was made on Friday, which was, you know, not unintentional at all. That was very planned and organized the whole weekend to see how people are going to react. And it was much calmer than I was anticipating. I figured there was going to be a lot more trouble than there was. But the, like, virtual signaling and the wailing and rending of cloth and all this melodramatic shit from the left, and it immediately turned into every politician out there, you need to vote for us, you need to help us finance us, donate money. It turned into a cash grab before the ink was dry on the opinion being issued. And people are acting like it's not. I've seen some things where it's refreshing. Like, the people that went way too hard left are starting to realize the extremists are being played. It's they're never going to get what they want. They're never going to be happy. They're never going to be satisfied. And it makes them a lot easier to fleece. I saw a great video that was a guy who was, by his own admission, a left-leaning, he was on the DNC committee for his area and all this other stuff, and he was showing footage of all these Democratic Senate members and taking to the streets and marching, and his whole thing was, what are you doing? Get back in there and develop the legislation. Do your fucking jobs. Don't march away from the building. You're leaving the building to be in the streets with bullhorns and rallying cries and trying to get all this attention and drum up all this support. Meanwhile, all the Republicans are still in Congress working on laws and making plans and doing what they need to do to keep pushing their agenda. And the guy wasn't wrong. The immediate reaction from every left-leaning politician is to take to the streets, make a big public stink, draw all the attention they can, rally their troops so they feel like they're trying to do something. These motherfuckers. Roe versus Wade was first pronounced by the Supreme Court 50 fucking years ago. Some of the people in Congress on the Democratic side were in office when Roe versus Wade was first brought to the Supreme Court. People like Nancy Pelosi were there. They've had literally an entire lifetime to try and do something about this if it was such a significant issue to them. If it was an issue where they were going to actually try and get it codified into law, because that's what you do if it's something supreme, because the Supreme Court doesn't make laws. They pronounce whether or not something is related to the Constitution. They decide the constitutionality of proposed laws. That's how the checks and balances system works. They don't get to make laws. They decide whether or not those laws are valid under the Constitution. And all things not valid under the Constitution are remanded to the state level. Now, that's something a lot of people seem to forget. The Supreme Court doesn't just get to dictate things. They get to say whether or not something is constitutional. The laws themselves have to come from fucking Congress. And then they are signed into law by the president. It's how the checks and balances system works. But nobody remembers that anymore. I've seen grown-ass people my own age bitching about things because they don't know how the system works. And this is something I was taught in middle school. They are older than me or the same age as me. They should have been taught the same fucking thing because it's not like I had some super fancy education. I had a basic public school education from like freshman year of high school all the way through graduation. And it's real simple. The checks and balances system exists the way it does for a reason. The reason nobody understands it also exists for a fucking reason, because if people understood it, they would actually start trying to hold all these representatives accountable for not doing fuck all for the last 40 years. The simple fact of the matter is there was a point where the Democrats held a majority in Congress where they could beat a filibuster, they had the votes they needed, and they still did nothing to codify it. You know why? Because once it's codified and it's part of the law of the land, they could have gotten an amendment passed to make this part of the Constitution and make it a guaranteed right for the entire nation. You know why they didn't? They didn't do it because if they did, then they could not use it as leverage every time an election came up where, oh my God, they're going to take your abortions away. They're going to take your right to choose away. It's not being done by accident. They had ample opportunity. It was never a priority to them because it was never a situation where the establishment of a new amendment or a new law benefited them to the same degree of not doing it. And true to form, the politicians are out there saying, well, now you have to get out there and it's more important than ever that you vote Democrat and vote blue. Don't stop the blue wave. And it's like, you guys already have the majority. You have the presidency. You have the majority in Congress. And you did nothing. And the argument was, oh, well, we don't have enough votes to get past a filibuster and pass an amendment. But you didn't try. You did literally nothing for 40 years. And it happened on your watch, and you're still telling the people to trust you. And realistically, that really bothers me. I mean, it's gotten to the point where they're not even trying to act like the people aren't fucking stupid anymore, which is insulting, although people are jumping on with both feet, you know? And as I've said multiple times, I'm all for everything that minimizes the power of the federal government. And I think the states are making a lot of stupid moves because I really don't see the point of outlawing what fundamentally is a medical procedure. And the state, the same reason I didn't support mandatory vaccinations or any of that other shit, is I do believe in bodily autonomy, and, well, personally, I don't agree with using abortion as a birth control method. I don't think it should be a felony if you are in a situation where the option is have an abortion or die, and you opt to live. I don't think that is right. Now, fortunately, in most of the places, even the ones that had like ridiculously draconian trigger laws in place, so as soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, it's like, boom, you can't get an abortion in this state anymore. The vast majority, I think it was something like 26 states had trigger laws in place where as soon as Roe versus Wade was overturned, abortions were no longer legal within the state lines. Out of those 26, I want to say it was 14 or 16, I believe, had exemptions for medical purposes. And that, you know, makes a lot more sense to me, saying, well, it's still a medical procedure, so if you have to get this to save your life, you're not going to be charged for a crime with it. Now, that doesn't mean that every talking head out there that is pro-life, I'm putting too many words here. Anybody that's, you know, upset about this is saying that, oh, well, so if I choose to stay alive, I could wind up in prison. And like, there might be that. I haven't looked through every state's Roe versus Wade trigger laws to find out how they're outlawing abortions. But due to just being overwhelmed by this shit coming out of the woodwork, it's there are people out there that did take the time to research so they could speak knowledgeably on these things. And on both sides of the aisle, there are some well-spoken individuals out there on social media that present their case reasonably, logically. They're willing to have a conversation or a discussion, but they're a very small percentage of the people out there. So the people that did look into it have found things that, like, in the vast majority of the states where there is a law saying you cannot have an abortion now, the exemptions, if they're not in place. But the thing is, most of the states don't make it illegal to get an abortion. They make it illegal to perform an abortion. So all the people that are saying, well, you won't be able to go to another state to get an abortion because you'll still be a criminal in your states because the doctors will, the state will find out and the doc, you know, Big Brother is going to find out you went and got this procedure in some other state and came back. So make sure you're extra sneaky about it if you do it. And it's not, most of the laws aren't written that way. They're written that you can't have the procedure performed. If you perform the procedure, you're committing a crime. And the wording is very important in a lot of these cases. But there's no emotional trigger in pointing that out. There's no way to drum up fear by saying, well, you can still get an abortion by going to a state where it's legal. The state, your state you reside in cannot prosecute you for something that happened in another state. It doesn't work that way. But they're not going to point that out either. And there's been a huge push. A lot of companies are coming out saying, we don't agree with this decision by the Supreme Court. If you work for us, we're going to pay for you to get to wherever you need to go to have the procedure done. And that's all well and good. I don't know how much of that is, you know, sincere concern for their people. I mean, I like to think it's, for with some of the companies at least, I think it's a sincere concern for the well-being of their peoples. I think a lot of it's virtue signaling. I think when it gets to the point where they're like, you know, Becky from the factory downtown is on her fifth fucking abortion trip this year, then I think they're probably going to put some limits in place for that and, you know, give her a book about, you know, how to not get knocked up. You know, you can't get pregnant with a blowjob, whatever the case may be. And I joke. I'm not quite that much of a pig. I mean, it's true, but it's not. I'm not saying like women shouldn't be able to enjoy sex and shouldn't be able to have fun, but you know, it's not that hard to be careful either. And they're saying that they're, oh, well, next they're going to come for the birth control, and that could be the case. And if that's the case, we're, you know, rise up, do something about it. I don't agree with that either. But like I said, the thing I have about it is keeping the Fed out of shit that's not their business. And the people that are now complaining that their rights are being stomped on had no problem over the last several years with the rights of other people being stomped on because it fit their agenda. And the hypocrisy really kind of burns my ass. The people that are saying, well, if you have something on there on your phone that deletes you, that tracks your cycles, delete it so the government won't know what your periods are. So if you go get an abortion, they won't be able to find out by tracking your periods. First off, nobody gives that much of a fuck about these things where the NSA is not going to be tracking people's period monitors to catch people getting abortions. That is a ridiculous amount of hyperbole. And they're acting like this is going to be some massive push to just try and end everybody's civil liberties because all of a sudden you can't go out and get an abortion on demand in certain states. And instead of saying things like, well, let's focus on politics at the local level so we can get people in place that agree with us, they're screaming about how their beliefs need to be pushed across the entire country. And how they must be the majority because the people that they talk to agree with them. Well, the problem is they only talk to people that agree with them, so they automatically assume they're the majority, and they're not necessarily the case. If that was the case, there wouldn't be states in place that had laws ready to go saying you can't have your abortion. And like I said, I've said it multiple times. I don't agree with that particular stance. I think it's stupid. It just creates a black market and more medical mispractices and bad things are going to happen. And that's the long and the short of it. If you think it's a good thing that abortions are completely illegal and outlawed and nobody can have one, then you're talking to the wrong fucking person. But, like I said, I think there does need to be safe and sell them and all that other good shit. You know, what they used to say when they were trying to push for national legalization. But, like I said, I'm talking in circles here. I don't want the government making those decisions on a national level. I don't trust the feds. The federal government is not supposed to have that much influence on your life. You're supposed to live in an area that fits your mindset, and you act accordingly locally, so you are in a place where you feel comfortable. A lot of these people that are doing the loudest screaming and the most ranting and raving are blue state residents that recently moved to red states because they had a problem with the living conditions in the blue states, and they seem to think they're going to move to red states for all the reasons that red states are red, but they're still going to bring their blue state values, and then they get pissed off when they're not being accommodated. And they're ranting and raving. I lost track of how many people were talking about, oh, well, Texas is off the list for me, or we're moving out of Texas. We moved here because we wanted, you know, we moved here for the taxes and the weather, but now we're leaving. And the people who were in Texas before all these people moved to Texas don't give a fuck. That's what they want. They want you out. They don't want you bringing your policies and beliefs that ruined the state you came from to their state, because you're moving there to enjoy things that couldn't exist under the structure you supported. So they don't really care if people are saying, oh, well, I'm going to pack up and leave this state because I don't agree with it. That's how it's supposed to fucking work. The United States, the reason so much of the responsibility of legislation and policy is not supposed to be done at a federal level is so everybody can have a place that fits for them. Not so the entire country can be one homogenous, washed. It's an unrealistic idea. The gap between the sides is way too great that you could ever have these laws effectively put into place at a national level. Because there's not enough people on either side that are willing to compromise. There's not enough people willing to say, it's not exactly what I want, but it's good enough. Everybody wants it all their way. That's why these things exist at a state level. And the things that aren't determined at a state level exist at a county level or a city level, a local level. Because you're supposed to have your area crafted around your life. And if you're in an area that doesn't suit your lifestyle and your choices and your beliefs, then you fucking go somewhere else. You don't tell people that they have to agree with your way of life, and that's what the way the world works, because you're right and they're wrong. Now, I'm going to touch on something else here that ties into this. I have my own beliefs about, like I said, I don't think abortion should be used as birth control. I think that's fucking irresponsible. I believe in responsibility. It kind of goes with believing in freedom and rights. If you want freedoms, you want rights, you have to take responsibility for shit that comes from that. And one of the possible consequences of fucking is children. That happens. That's the risk you have to take. Now, should you be jeopardizing your own life, your own well-being? No. Should you be suffering because you're not in any kind of position where this kid's going to grow up in a battered home or a broken home or a fucking shit lifestyle? No. If there's a valid economic reason where you can't have your kid, and I mean, without going into, there are a million possible reasons why it would be a bad thing. If the kid's life is going to be fucking horrible and miserable, and you're not willing to entertain the option of adoption for whatever reasons, you know, and things like children's of sexual assault, children's of rape, children's of incest. Yeah, no, those should not be issues. It should not be a case of, well, this kid has to be born and is going to be born into having touching eyeballs and Uncle Grandpa and all this other shit that goes along with it. No, that's not okay. Or if a woman doesn't feel like she can deal with having the child of a sexual assault, she shouldn't have to. Shouldn't have to carry around that constant reminder that, you know, she was violated like that. And I think the guys who do that kind of shit should be prosecuted and thrown into a chipper shredder. It's, you know, it is what it is. But that's my beliefs. That's the way I feel. That's the way I think life should work. I don't expect anyone else to live their standards according to my personal beliefs, as long as they're returning the courtesy. And that brings us to the whole religious argument. If you're saying that you shouldn't be able to get an abortion because I think that's a sin and you're going to go to hell, that's your decision. That's your ability. That's your faith. That's your religion. That's not legal precedent. That is between you and your God. That is not involving anybody else's lives. You're allowed to say you can't do something because of your religion. You're not allowed to say anybody else can't do something because of your religion. That's how the United States was set up. The Founding Fathers did not intend this to be a theocratic society. Now, that's a big word for where religion is law. This is not that kind of country. Your faith is between you and your God. It doesn't apply to any fucking body else. I mean, yeah, your kids until they're old enough to make their own decisions. But that's neither here nor there. It's a matter of faith is personal. Faith is very much a you thing. It's not a everybody thing. And that's another one of those things where it's like, I think the opposite side of things pushed way too fucking hard. And instead of pushing for acceptance, they want to be treated special. When you get into like the agnostics and the atheists, the really hardcore ones are like, see, this is the problem with religion and da-da-da-da. And instead of just saying, look, I want to believe what I believe, you believe what you want to believe, they want to sit there and just vilify and demonize the entire concept. It's like, no, we get it. It's not for you. You don't have to live based off of this. Unfortunately, these days, a lot of the more conservative Christian right-wing type individuals are pushing way too hard based on their faith. Because they've lost that understanding that in this country, your faith is your faith. It doesn't. There, we don't have a national religion. We don't have a national church. Honestly, the Founding Fathers would have been fucking smoking at the ears to find out any of these justices were friggin' Catholics. They were not trusted back in the day. And I'm saying that as somebody who did their time as an altar boy. And no, I never got any of that special Jesus juice or any inappropriate touches, which kind of hurt my feelings. It's like, what? I wasn't pretty enough? But I digress. The point being, you know, there was a time in this country where being a Catholic was just as bad as a lot of other things that are currently unacceptable by certain standards. So, the stuff swings and shifts, but you're not supposed to be bringing your religion to the table when it comes to laws. You're not supposed to be expecting other people to be living their life based on your religious values. So if you're using sin or the afterlife or any of that other shit as a justification for why you think this should be illegal, you've automatically lost the argument because your religion is not valid in terms of legality. The Bible is not a law book. It is not a textbook. It is a book about spirituality and faith, which, according to our Constitution, which is where the Supreme Court comes in, is not supposed to have any bearing on national policy. Now, if you want to live in some little community where they decide all their local laws are based off of the Bible, you're more than welcome to it. There's a lot of good Mennonite communities out there, and Amish communities, and Mormon communities, and other assorted flavors of Christianity. There are weird-ass other religions that have 16 followers, and you probably never heard of them unless you do some deep dark web dives, but they're out there, and you know, you do you. Go find that community where it's built around that principle, and live there, and be happy, and ignore the rest of the fucking country, because the rest of the country doesn't want to live by your faith and your principles. It's really not all that fucking complicated. It's a really simple concept. And it goes back to what I'm constantly saying. You do you, I'll do me. As long as you respect me, I'll respect you. And if you don't like it, go fuck yourself. And ultimately, it's all just a big fucking distraction. I really don't think the timing on this was coincidental. We are coming up on the end of the quarter, and they're going to make the announcements. And they're going to have to acknowledge that we're in a fucking recession. All the markers are there. It's not good. The economy's in the toilet. The Fed's still fucking everything up. Realistically, they handled it like right out of the same playbook. But people aren't necessarily buying it quite as much anymore. I mean, there's still a metric fuck ton of hard-ass super woke people that fly right off the handle like on cue. They're Pavlov's dog. The bell rings. They drool. No kiss kiss. No bang bang. It's fucking ridiculous. But there are more and more people waking up to the fact that they're being played, and it's kind of refreshing. It's it gives me a small sliver of hope. I mean, things are going to get bad. They're going to get pretty frickin' bad before they get any better. And the world's cyclical. Things keep changing one after another, but things repeat themselves too, you know. It's kind of cliche, but it's true. You know, hard times make hard men. Hard men make good times. Good times lead to soft men. Soft men lead to hard times. And it's, you know, again, the generic men, not the gender men. But it leads to these things where, yeah, we've had it real good. We've had it real soft for quite a long time. Technologically, we're farther along than we've ever been, at least as far as... it depends on which conspiracy theories you buy. If there were previously advanced societies before we existed, yada, yada, yada. But comparatively, even like broke-ass people have smartphones and access to the internet and food in the fridge for the most part. And like the politicians now, somebody actually came out and said, well, you know, people may only be able to eat two meals a day. We're doing a hell of a lot better for if we're in a recession and that's the concern, is people will only be able to have two meals a day. Beats the hell out of the kid that's eating every third day in Ghana, you know? We seem to have forgotten that. We don't appreciate what we have. We don't have any real strife, any real problems, any real issues that we need to address. So we fly off the handle over petty little shit because we don't have any real things to focus our attention on. So there are still the people that react to it. But there's always a chance. I mean, people are waking up. People are getting sick of getting played. They're starting to realize that there's not going to be a big national blanket of the entire country is going to do this because we feel it's right. And the more people that realize that, the more people that realize there's a reason we have state-level government, because having the entire country have the exact same policies is never going to fucking work. The country's too big. There's too fucking many of us. That's the whole point. We have the benefits of an entire nation, but the states still allow us to be with people with like-minded individuals, like-minded feels. And if you don't like the situation where you're at, it gives you the opportunity to pick up and move without having to leave the country. So it's not a bad thing. People, if they had any sense, would be embracing the idea of more state-level authority. I mean, I'm not a fan of really too much authority in general, but having it at a state level makes it manageable. This trying to get one-size-fits-all shit for the entire country is never, ever going to work. And people are starting to realize that, and they're starting to act accordingly. So there's, you know, a little hope on the horizon, and hopefully we'll do better. But in the meantime, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your people, do good. And for now, that's what I had to say.
Thanks for listening to another episode of I Had to Say It. If you liked what you heard, leave a review, give us a follow, give me some feedback. And if you didn't like what you heard, leave a review, give me a follow, give me some feedback. I'll try and fix it. Check us out on all the social media platforms at I Had to Say It Podcast is the trigger for all that stuff, for the search term. And if you want, check out the website, www.ihadtosayitpodcast.com. There's links to people that have been involved with the program, things I've talked about. There are some links available for some merch that we're working on, and there are ways to contact us there as well. And thanks for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.